Thank you. It's nice to be ministered to. It's nice to come to church and be ministered to. I need that too, you know. A couple of things. Thank you, Lynn, for sharing your testimony. And it's a wonderful thing as Christians. You know, we don't do this very often. Maybe we used to years ago, and it's something we need to do more and again. And it's, you know, there's folks in here, I've never heard your testimony. Maybe some of you have never heard mine. And it's good that we share that we remind one another that we all come from the same place and how the Lord called us and uses us and draws us and blesses us and all of those wonderful things. So it's always, I think, a powerful moment when someone shares their heart and their testimony for the Lord, and I appreciate that this evening. Something you said I really like, I'm going to steal it, so I hope that's okay. The ongoing relationship. I don't know if you meant to say that, but that's what it is. Our relationship continues to grow. It's an ongoing relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's so powerful. The other thing is, you may know a couple of folks, be Malcolm and Gail Reed. You probably are familiar with those folks as well, the Christian Motorcycle Association. I've talked with different folks that have been blessed and have learned a few things they needed to know through that organization. So God bless you folks, you and your husband, as you continue on, and we'll be in prayer for Lynn as you undergo the challenges ahead, and the Lord will be with you. I appreciate being reminded of that tonight. Where are we going now? Let's go to Isaiah chapter 26, please, just for a few minutes this evening. We're going to finish up the last couple of points here in our series. We've been in this series, seven things about many different things, and the last couple of weeks we've been talking about renewing our minds. Seven things about renewing our minds. And we're trying to answer some of the questions in regards to, is it biblical? Is it important? Does it matter how we think? Does it really make a difference? Or is it only matter what we do on the outside? And I think biblically we've been able to see, and I think we all would know that anyway, that it's absolutely important how we think and what we think. And we see many examples of that in Scripture. So we've been talking about that, and we've looked at, I think, four points already. We'll finish tonight with the last three. But the whole concept or the whole idea and the reason for sort of diving into this topic, somebody referenced it or mentioned it to me. It would be good if we did a study on this. And the more I looked into it, the more I realized the Bible has a lot to say about how we think. And again, I've said this a few times, but the battles often take place in the arenas of our minds. And we do so much within our thought lives for the Lord, or we sometimes have victories in our lives that only take place in here. And so how we think and what we think and allowing God to mold our thinking to be like Christ is absolutely a very important principle in the life of a Christian. And we want to learn to do that. We want to learn to practice the presence of Christ in our lives all the time, reminding ourselves and remembering that Christ is with us. And there's a way in which He wants us to respond. There's a way in which He wants us to respond to the challenges of life, to demonstrate our faith and to demonstrate His strength in our lives. There's a way in which He wants us to think about our enemies. Right? Love them that despitefully use you and curse you. This is the way He wants us to think about one another. Forbear one another. Esteem one another higher than yourselves. Forgive one another. And so we learn throughout the Scriptures that the way that we think about the world we live in and the way God directs us and the challenges we face is absolutely important. And God has given us many different tools within Scripture, verses of truth, passages of truth, stories and examples of truth that help us regulate the way that we think. And we're going to just finish up here this evening by talking about the last three points, but let me pray and then I'll remind us of the first few before we get going. Father, we thank you again for the reminder this evening, Lord, and it's so true. As believers, I think we could all say that if we had our lives to live over again, we'd live every day for you. Father, there really isn't anything else worth doing. And as we talked about this morning, that's what life is all about. That's what makes life worth living, that we were created for your pleasure,
that we were created to know you, have a relationship with you through Christ that would be ongoing, constantly growing, and knowing you in a more deeper and intimate way, our Creator, our Lord, and our Savior. And so, Lord, we pray that even as we consider these things this evening about our thought lives, about how we think and how we let you, Lord, control our minds and how we take captive our thoughts and all of these different things, Lord, that we would become stronger in our faith and, Lord, that our minds would be more like Christ and pleasing to you, Lord. Even the very things that we think would be pleasing to you. So bless as we finish up this little topic. And, Lord, thank you for each one that's here tonight and for the blessings, Father, that we've already shared today with one another. God, we praise you, and we're careful again, once again as we gather, Lord, to worship you in spirit, Father, to say thank you for Christ, Lord. Thank you for your love for us. And Father, it's good to be with the saints this evening. Encourage our hearts as we head into the battlefields, the mission fields that lie before us. We want to be equipped and encouraged and prayed up and ready to go, Lord, so that you will use us in whatever challenge or adventure you might have for us. So, Father, bless our time, this last service as we meet. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. We're going to go to this one little passage in Isaiah in a couple of minutes, but let me just remind us of some of the things that we've already been talking about in regards to our thinking, seven things about renewing our mind. The first one was there is reason to renew. You remember, there are reasons why we need to think differently. We're new Christians. 2 Corinthians tells us that we are new creatures, I should say, not Christians. New creatures in Christ as Christians, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Old things pass away and all things become new. Even the way that we think and the way that we perceive the world around us, everything changes. How I see sin has changed. It's now no longer a small matter. It's a big deal because when I sin, I realize I sin against God, the one who loves me, the one who sent his son to die for me. We have a different attitude and a different way of thinking about death. We're no longer in bondage to the fear of death. We don't want to die. We've got things we want to experience, and we want to share Christ with others. We want to see our loved ones grow and all of those things. Yet death we know will come, and when it does, what a wonderful truth that God allows us to have the confidence in Christ that we don't have to fear death, but instead we can think about heaven. We can think about to live as Christ, to die as gain. We can think in healthy ways, in ways that are powerful, and in ways that encourage us even in the face of death. And we have hope in Christ. And so there are reasons to renew how we think about the world around us, how we think about God, others, fear, life, all of those things. Secondly, we talked about the fact that God minds our minds. That's the second thing about renewing our mind. We realize that God is the audience of one inside the theater of our thinking. That's not a very nice thought, but that's the truth of it. And so when we think about renewing our minds, we recognize that God is our greatest accountability partner. You know, we use that phrase sometimes. We need an accountability partner. And it's a good idea to have someone that, you know, will talk to you about the things you're struggling with and keep you accountable. Hey, how you doing in this area of your life? And how can I pray for you? But ultimately, the Spirit of God dwells within us. And God knows where we struggle. He sees our struggles, our fears, our temptations, whatever the case might be. And so he's our accountability partner, as it were. He knows what's going on within our minds, and he wants to help us to navigate the challenges even within our thought lives, to help us to think according to his will, think in ways of hope and encouragement, think of ways of life and faith and all of that. And so there is reason to renew. God minds our minds. Thirdly, we looked at the fact that he wants us to have a humble mind, humble. Remember in Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, it tells us to put on humbleness. You know, sometimes when we leave the house, we might put on the robes of anger, leave the house and just be mad at the world. Sometimes I might get up in the morning and put on the robes of jealousy. Everybody's, you know, got everything they want, and I can't get anything I want. Everything's going well for everybody else, and I'm jealous, and I'm envious. And maybe I put on the robes of bitterness, and I walk around all day, and it's very obvious to people that I'm bitter. And, you know, bitterness only hurts those who haven't hurt me. And the people that I'm bitter against, they're not affected by it, but I am. And so we sometimes are tempted to put on these different garments, and yet the Bible says, put on the robes of humility. Wear humbleness like a robe. When you leave the house, when you get out of bed in the morning, you just robe yourself with the humility of Christ, and people can recognize that humility. It's Christ-like. Proverbs 18:12, before destruction the heart is haughty, before honor is humility. And so in order to be honored by the Lord, in order to be honored by our loved ones, in order to live a life that is honorable to Christ, we need to robe ourselves with humility. And it starts in our mind, the way that we think about ourselves, the way that we think about those around us. Humility is so important. And so the Spirit of God helps us to take on that way of thinking. The haughty, the arrogant, the overconfident, proud looks and attitudes. God's like, I want you to put on the robes of humility. Have a mind like Christ. He was humbled even unto the death of the cross. And this was the Son of God. Fourthly, we talked about this, to be Christ-minded. I love that. To be Christ-minded, to have a mind like Christ. What would Jesus do, Charles Sheldon wrote? And we ask ourselves that question. And I think that's okay to say, how would Christ respond to this? And when we look at the Scripture, we can see how he responds. And it is with humility, and it is with grace and patience, and it's with love. You mentioned, Lynn, sorry to bring you up again, but in your testimony, you mentioned that friendship. That's so important to establish a genuine, loving friendship with those around us. They know the difference. And when we're genuine and sincere about our love for them, they pick up on that. And so when it comes to being Christ-like, I remember the Bible says that when they came into the garden to take Jesus away, to lead him as a lamb to the slaughter, Christ stepped up, Judas kisses Christ, and Jesus Christ said, "Friend, what doest thou?" He referred to him as a friend. Christ to the very end, even as he was being betrayed, was demonstrating not only humility and these other characteristics, but also he was sincere about his love for Judas. And he said as much, "Friend, what doest thou?" And so we want to have a mind like that, a mind like Christ. We talked about the fact that Christ served others, Philippians 2, verses 5 to 8. And we too want to serve others like Christ. And to serve like Christ, you got to think like Christ, right? Secondly, we talked about, in regards to the mind of Christ, teaching others about him. If we want to teach others about Christ, also it helps to think like Christ. And then thirdly, we talked about the fact that we are in defense against the sin and the flesh when we think like Christ, based on 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. So having a mind like Christ helps us in so many areas of our lives, including these three, whether it's service, talking to others about Christ, or fighting against the flesh and sin. When we think like Christ, we have an advantage against those things, and it helps us. And so there's a lot more when we think about thinking right. And I think sometimes, at least for me, because nobody else knows, this is all going on inside my head, whether I'm worrying or doubting or angry or envious or jealous or whatever, then nobody sees it. So I'm not too concerned about it. I don't have to worry about being accountable, and that simply isn't true. God is with me. He sees it. And he reminds me that he sees it because he'll say, "You shouldn't think that way. You shouldn't think that thought." And so it is important how we think. Let's move on now in the last three, just quickly. Number five is having an unmovable mind. And I'm going to give you the references, but the first one is in Isaiah chapter 26. And here's the concept. An unmovable mind helps us have peace of mind. In other words, a mind that has stayed on Christ, a mind that isn't always shifting and changing and doubting, and, well, maybe this is true, and maybe that is true, and gee, I don't know what is true. And the Word of God will help us to know what's true. 2 Thessalonians 2:2 tells us not to be shaken in mind. James 1:8, I think it is, and James 4:8 tells us that we need to be careful not to be double-minded, because a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I don't know what to do, and maybe I'll do this, or maybe I won't, or maybe I should do this, and we're unstable and double-minded. And so it's important that we have an unmovable mind, firm. I jotted down, as Christians, we cling to Christ as the anchor of our salvation and the truth of God's Word as the solid rock of our foundation. And it helps us to have an unmovable mind. Listen to this verse. This, by the way, is a song. Let's start from verse 1, actually. It says, in regards to the millennial kingdom someday, this is the worship of the people of God in the kingdom. It says, "In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah." By the way, I'm not the only one that thinks it's amazing that we can read songs that are going to be sung in the future. We're eavesdropping on a song someday we'll hear in the millennial kingdom. So I just think that's cool, but anyway, you probably agree. In that day shall they sing, or shall a song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city of salvation. Will God appoint for walls and bulwarks? Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Then it says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. And I believe this isn't a blessing that we can utilize only in those days ahead, but even right now, a mind that has stayed on the Lord Jesus Christ, anchored on the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, is a mind that will be unmovable, that won't be double-minded and unstable, because we have ourselves anchored to Christ, anchored to him and to the truth of God's word. Secondly, in Philippians 4:7, we know that a mind is kept, it says there. I want to read that, please. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. A mind that is kept is unmovable when it's kept by the Lord God. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. I'll just read it quickly here. It says, and the peace of God. I want to back up one verse. We may as well get this one in too. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Prayer is a big part of this. And the way that we think, and the way that we think helps the way that we pray. And then it says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, we often refer to this peace, shall keep your hearts and minds in regards to what we think about. And the stability of our minds, that we don't have to throw our hands in the air and say, all is lost. Instead, we have an unmovable mind because we remember the truths, the precepts of God's word, that he is faithful and we can trust him. And when we do, when we make our requests known, when we cry out to him, we can have a peace of God which passeth all understanding, that will keep our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. And that is a wonderful and a powerful tool to help us have an unmovable mind, consistent in our thinking, which helps us to be consistent in our acting and our doing, our behaviors. Thirdly, as I referenced already these other references here, we can have confidence through Christ and an unmovable mind when we trust in him. And I referenced 2 Thessalonians 2:2 that tells us not to be shaken in mind, James 1:8 and 4:8 as well. Number six in this little series is to be like-minded. The sixth thing about having a mind like Christ, or renewing our mind, I should say, is it helps us to be like-minded. And this is a biblical concept, to be like-minded. What does that mean? It means that we all think alike. Sometimes we say that to each other. Hey, you know, we think alike. I say that to people, and they're like, well, I don't think like you're talking about. Don't insult me by saying that. No, we think a lot alike. No, we don't. You know, as Christians, we should think a lot alike. The Bible, that's what the phrase like-minded means. As a matter of fact, it's not a concept that is thrown out there in Scripture that, you know, maybe it'll kind of come about that people, you guys as Christians, will kind of think similarly. It's a biblical concept that is commanded, that God wants us to be like-minded. And so he fills our hearts, our minds with his truth, his word, so that we all think the same way. We have the same way of thinking. Let's look at a couple of verses quickly. Verse 10 in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. To be like-minded, God's will is not only that we think like Christ, but that we all think like each other as we think like Christ. Does that make sense? Sounded like it did when I said it. Maybe it doesn't. But God wants us to think like each other as long as we are thinking like Christ, to be like-minded, to be like Christ, and to think like Christ amongst one another, to be like-minded in our thinking. Verse 10, it simply says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. And how do we accomplish that? We all read the same book. We all hear the same truths from the Spirit of God. And we all learn together. This is how God wants us to think corporately, to be like-minded. When we do that, as it says here, it helps us avoid division. You know, the Bible says it's a wonderful thing that the saints are unified, or we're coming together in unity. And when we think the same way, the chances are better that we're going to remain unified. And it helps keep us from division. Let me read the rest of this verse, or the second half. It says, and that there be no divisions among you. How do we accomplish that? But that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. We handle each other the same way. We handle the challenges we face the same way, whatever those challenges are, because we think alike. And that helps us remain unified. It keeps division. Let's look at Philippians chapter 1, please. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. When we are like-minded, it helps us maintain a Christ-like testimony. Chapter 1, verse 27 of Philippians. Just jumping into the context here, but the verse stands alone. Only let your conversation... By the way, conversation here doesn't mean what you say. It includes what you say, but the word conversation here actually means how you live your life, your lifestyle. Let the manner in which you live your life, let that, your conversation, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. That whether I come to see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. For our testimony's sake, you know, Paul's saying, I've heard about what you guys are doing, that you're striving together with one mind, working together. And so it's encouraging to the believers when we come together and we can have the same mind. Doesn't mean that we all have the same ideas or the same way in which we, you know, accomplish things, but we work together because we have the same mind. We are Christ-minded. We have the same testimony. We want to make Christ look good. And so when we come together with the same mind or a like-mindedness, we maintain a good testimony. You know, we've all heard one Christian say something and another Christian say something else, and then an unsaved individual will say, see, they don't even agree. See, they can't even get along. And I'm not interested in that. When we have the same mind, when we think the same way, even when we disagree on little silly things that are not doctrine or not theology or Bible-based, we get over it pretty quick. We don't get hung up on those things because we are like-minded in the fact that we love Christ together and we want to honor Him and we want to show love not only for the brethren, but we want to show that love to the world because by our love for one another will the world know that we are His, what? Disciples. And it increases our testimony. Thirdly, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Third reason why it's important that we are like-minded. Number one, to avoid division. Number two, for our testimony's sake. And number three, according to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, to inherit a blessing. We like blessings. That sounds like a pretty good idea, to inherit a blessing if we are like-minded. Verse 8 of 1 Peter chapter 3, finally, be all of one mind. Again, the same concept, to be like-minded. Think the same way. Be of one mind, having compassion one for another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereto called, that ye should, what? Inherit a blessing. God is going to bless and honor those that make the effort to think alike and to behave accordingly. And so to be like-minded, to be of the same mind, is a biblical concept. And we strive to be like-minded. Again, not in, you know, you might like Lay's potato chips and I might like Ruffles. Well, that's okay. But when it comes to the things pertaining to the Word of God and the way He wants us to live our lives, the Bible says we got to think alike. We got to be of the same mind, working together. We are the body of Christ, one. We're fitly joined together. And we're all bringing glory to Christ by being like-minded. Finally, the last one this evening as we close is to be healthy-minded. The renewing of the mind for the believer helps us to be healthy-minded. I can remember being at the back of the church. We had a visitor. He had been there the year before. He'd come back for vacation, and he come back to the church, and we got chatting a little bit at the back door, and he told me that he had some major health issues, mentally speaking, for years, and he struggled. And he said, I got saved. And he said, over the course of several more years, I began to really address my mental thinking, my mental issues with the Word of God. And he said that in combination with my doctor and different things, and over time I was able to wean myself off some of those other things I depended on because the Scriptures were helping me to think differently about the world I lived in and the problems that I had. And so the Bible is filled with things that will help us be healthy-minded, and we need that. There's a lot of things out there that will poison our minds, but the Scriptures will help us. And I'm just going to throw these out just quickly, and just bear with me as I do that. But the first one is Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, specifically. If you'll grant me a moment, I would like to read that verse because I will never quote it properly, and I think it's important. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. We didn't get this far when we were here a moment ago, but it says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely." It's kind of a nice list so far, right? "Whatsoever things are of good rapport, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise." Then it says, "Think on these things." In other words, when your mind is consumed with what you saw in the news or what that person said to you and how it bothered you or what you seen when you were driving by or what you're worried about could happen and may never happen, when our mind becomes consumed and unstable or worried or fear-filled, the Bible gives us some instructions as to what to do. Think on things that are good. Think on things that are true. Think on things that are virtuous, of good rapport. Think about things like that. And it sounds so simple, but yet this is God's instruction in His Word. He says, well, think about things that you know are encouraging, things that are praised. Think on these sorts of things, it says, that will help us have a healthy mind. Here's the practical way of understanding that. Sometimes we spend too much time thinking negatively. Negatively? Is that a word also? Thinking in the negative. Thinking in the opposite of the positive. You know, it's okay. We know those things are out there. We know there's a lot of difficult things, a lot of negative things, a lot of bad things. That's the way it is. But we don't have to allow our minds to constantly be focused on those things. And I would dare say it's unhealthy. How many of us have ever heard, turn off the news, it's not good for you? We know why, because it's not healthy to get a steady diet of unhealthy things. Things that aren't good, aren't just, aren't pure, aren't holy, aren't righteous, aren't of good rapport, aren't virtuous. We think about those things way too much. And then we go to bed and wonder why we can't sleep. Wonder why we have bad dreams, or feel discouraged or depressed. It's going to happen. But we can mitigate some of those things. We can curb some of those things. We're all going to live with depression and anxiety within the mind. Every one of us. That's the human nature. We are fallen. But it doesn't have to be a way of life. We can use the tools of God's Word to help us through those things. A few other verses. Proverbs 29:11, "A fool utters all his mind." We don't have to say everything that's on our mind. "A wise man keepeth it until afterwards." Matthew 6:25-28, verse 31, it talks about worry. "Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature?" None of you can do. Don't worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to wear. Look at the birds. I'm looking after them, aren't I? I'll look after you. Look at the flowers in the field. Look how I've clothed them. I'll clothe you. And so when it comes to our thinking, we're being told here in Matthew, don't let worry consume your mind. 2 Corinthians 10:5 tells us to take captive every what? Thought. We got to guard our minds. You know, there's got to be a little soldier up there. The Holy Spirit is saying, hey, put that in prison. Don't let that thing wander around your mind. That lustful thought, that perverted thought, that sinful thought, that jealous or envious or hateful thought, you take that captive. You throw it in that prison. Lock it. Throw away the key. Think on things that are good, things that are right, things that are virtuous. And so it's up to you and up to me to practice that. And when those little evil thoughts go dancing through our thinking, we throw the lasso around them. Spiritually speaking, we haul them in and we say, not going to do it. And we control our minds. And the Lord blesses us and helps us to do that. And it will help us have healthy minds. 1 Peter 1:13, "Avoid mind-altering substances. Be sober-minded." We live in a world that thinks that's the best way to have a little break, just, you know, to check out for a while and fill your mind with whatever substances will distract your mind. But the Bible tells us, no, that's the opposite. You want to be sober-minded, because the other way will bring in paranoia and discouragement and depression and fear and anxiety. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, and again, this was alluded to in Lynn's testimony. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind, right? We have a sensible mind. God will help us recognize the difference between right and wrong, to have a mind that is self-controlled and disciplined. And so the Lord has given us the tools to have a healthy way of thinking, but it's up to us to put those tools into practice. And that's what I meant earlier last week when I mentioned setting my watch to beep every hour. The idea was just practicing that concept of how's my thinking? The Lord's with me. Remember that. And if I pleased Him, is there something in the last hour that I need to confess? And just trying to learn to exercise right thinking so that it's pleasing to the Lord. Anyway, is renewing the mind important, biblical? Absolutely it is. And God has helped us in the Word to think the ways in which He wants us to control the thoughts that cross our mind, the way in which we think, so that the way in which we behave will also be pleasing to Him. So anyway, thank you for your patience and your listening ears. And that is seven things about renewing your mind. So we'll close in a word of prayer. Father, we do thank You for this evening. Lord, for the blessing of the day, God. What a wonderful day, and we thank You so much for it. Father, thank You for the encouragement tonight by way of Your servant, Lord. And we thank You, Lord, that we all can share testimonies of what You do in our lives, and it can be such a blessing to one another. Thank You, Lord, that You want us to think right, that even in the very recesses of our minds, we present our bodies a living sacrifice, but also the renewing of our mind. We don't want to be conformed to this world, but transformed to think like Christ, to be Christ-minded in what we think, and Lord, also in how we behave. And so we thank You, Lord, for Your Word, that we have many tools in here to help us think the way that You want us to. God, fill our heart and fill our minds with Yourself, with Your presence, and with Your Word, we pray. We know that there was a day when You flooded this world because God was not in all their thoughts, because they only thought evil continually. And Lord, help us to recognize that the way we think matters to You, and so it should matter to us. Thank You, God, for the day. Thank You for Your Word. Bless us as we close. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going